have your Bibles tonight, find if you would to begin the book of Acts, the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. We will use our Bibles quite a bit tonight as far as turning. Whether you want to turn or not, you can at least write down the passages and use them for your own study. This morning, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we found ourselves in the 5th chapter, in verses 1 to 8, and Solomon was exposing a consequence of what was happening as he viewed life under the sun, and he viewed a way of life that was trying to be without the authority of God or the presence of God or the reality of God. And two things happen to a people. Number one, they become religious. And number two, life apart from God, the love of money creeps in there. Really and truthfully, that is a reality because man was created by God. When God created man, God created man with a custom place designed perfectly for the Lord. And so there is an innate desire inside of humanity to worship. This desire was put in there by God. You can go into your history books, you can go into any kind of log that you want to go into, and you can read about civilization coming all the way up through the creation of man, and there has always been worship. Some folks worship the sun, some folks worship the moon, some people worship statues, some people worship animals. But the number one, really and truthfully, I think, God of this world when it comes to humanity is the love of money. Nothing wrong with money in and of itself. Money is a tool. Money is something that is used in our way of life. Money is something that the Bible talks about. Money is something that God is for. But God would be against a person loving money over him. And so you had in Solomon's perception here, people were going to church based solely on a religious directive, based solely on just because it was the thing to do, and not because it was based on a relationship with the living God. And so as they were going about their worship, there was no respect in their worship, no respect for God. There was no readiness to hear. They just went in and wanted to say anything to God or do whatever, but they didn't want to hear God's word. They weren't wanting to hear what God was saying to them. There was not a repentance in them as far as they were offering the sacrifice of fools. And basically the sacrifice of a fool is to offer God worship without offering him an honest heart. And so outwardly they were proclaiming one thing, but inwardly they were something different. And Solomon said, that's the sacrifice of fool, because you're not concerned with your own sinfulness in your own heart, and God sees that. And so as you're offering public worship or you're offering some kind of form of worship there, it's the heart that God was interested in. And then there was no reverence for God. And boy, in our society today, we don't see any reverence, even in church. And by the way, let me say this about Plantation Baptist Church. I'm glad there's a reverence about God in this place. I get labeled sometimes, or we get labeled all kinds of things, everything from old-fashioned to dry or to whatever, and it seems like people want to put some kind of wording on the way that we do church, but have you ever been to a church where there's no reverence for God? It's kind of a scary place to be. And so we have a reverence for the Lord here. And Solomon was saying that on just a religious direction only, and without a relationship with the living God, there was no reverence for that. And then he went on to describe through that other things as well, as far as he said, listen, it's all tied to a relationship, and then there would be a reality that God sees and knows. And so this morning, the message title was The Vanity of Just Going to Church. And it's amazing when you hear people complain or you hear people speak in frustration about spiritual matters. Usually it's the church or it's religion or it's something that has to do with religion only. There's very little a person can complain about Jesus. When you really get to know him and you really get to learn about him, there is nothing in Christ that you can find to complain about. And so our world is moving away from church. By the way, that's having an impact on our good churches. And so here's the philosophy now in ministry, is that the world's running a direction, and so the church is kind of trying to cut the world off at the pass. So we're kind of trying to change the way that church ought to be so that we can meet the world as they're running over there, when really and truthfully, the world needs the church to stand strong upon God's word. Okay, and we need us to. They don't need us to run after them. You know, my dad never ran after me. Sometimes I watch parents and their kids run, and they're running after them, and their kid runs away from them, and it's just a defiant there. Man, if I ran away from my dad, it was time to meet Jesus. Now, back in that day, any church member could spank the pastor's kid. So they just grab you and they would bring you back, right back. And so my dad never ran after me, and he never changed all the rules so that I would be comfortable. Eventually, he would snatch me up and he would explain to me the situation, and then I would learn my lesson. All right? So you got to be careful. As the world is leaving the church, it's their problem. Okay? And as the world is leaving the church and going this direction, there's nothing wrong with a biblical, local, New Testament, Bible-believing church. Nothing wrong. And so tonight's message is simply this. It's more of a devotional tonight, but where it was vain to just go to church, tonight I want to kind of preach a little bit why we do go to church, why I go to church. Have you ever been asked, why do you go to church? And I don't know what your answer would be to that, but I've got three simple answers. There's some subpoints under them. But I really believe that these are the three basic reasons why a person will go to church and enjoy it, or why a person will go to church and look forward to doing that. And so look, if you would, in Acts chapter number 11. I want to start there, because I find in this passage of Scripture what I think church ought to be as far as a blessing in our lives. If you look at verse number 18... This is, chapter 11 is known for the church at Antioch. It's known for this Gentile church where these folks were getting saved. And verse number 18, it says, when they heard these things, that would be the church back at Jerusalem, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, remember he was martyred for the faith, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, now these were not Jews, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, remember he was ministering at that church, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now you remember Saul, his name was changed to Paul when he got saved. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that whole year they assembled themselves with the what class? With the church. And when you read that, when they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I sometimes in my Bible reading just kind of imagine and meditate and think about what that year must have been. I mean, the gospel had been preaching since Pentecost. Peter and the disciples had been preaching to the Jews. But God didn't want the gospel just to stay in Jerusalem. God wanted the gospel to go throughout the world. And those original disciples, they were so captivated with Jerusalem, they weren't going out as God had told them to go. So God sent persecution into their life to drive them out from Jerusalem. And as they were being driven out from Jerusalem, everywhere they went, they were preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at first, they were only going to these cities, and they were only preaching to the Jews. But eventually, the gospel got to the Gentile, and it got to the Grecians, and they were astounded when other people other than Jews could be saved. Now, all of the Gentiles in the room ought to say, amen, praise God that we can be saved. And so a church began to spring up. This was the Gentile church, and tidings of that got back to Jerusalem where those folks were, and they were rejoicing. And then that church sends Barnabas to Antioch, and Barnabas goes and gets Saul, and together the two of them make their way to this church, and they spend a whole year at that church just enjoying the Lord, enjoying the church, and being ministered to. It reminds me of people when they first get saved. You know, when people first get saved, they're excited to come to church. Excited about it. And I would say about Plantation Baptist Church, we have a church full of people that are excited to come to church. I was talking to my mother-in-law today, and we were talking about what a joy it is to have an expectation when you come to church that God's going to meet with you, God's going to minister, God's going to move in some way. And so these folks got to spend a whole year. Now remember, persecution going on around them, but a whole year enjoying the church. And that's the way church ought to be. Church ought to be something that is a consummation, a consuming of your life. It ought to be something that you enjoy. It ought to be something that is important in our lives. And so church ought to be something that we find attending on a weekly basis, and something that we find esteemed in our eyes. And so I've got three reasons tonight why I believe we go to church. Reason number one, and we're going to have to go to the book of Ephesians for this, Ephesians chapter 5. You might know this passage, but in Ephesians chapter 5, we find what I believe to be one of the first reasons why I go to church. And reason number one is because I love the Lord. Because I love the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so I know this is a passage about marriage, and I understand that, but it's also a wonderful passage that explains to us Christ's love relationship for the church. Now, when he's talking about the church there, he's not just talking about every Christian that there is upon the earth, as far as we all make up the body of Christ or the church of God, but he's also talking about local independent churches. And the reason that I go to church is because I love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, you love the things the Lord loves. And the Lord loves nothing more on this earth than his church. The church is the most important thing in the lives, in the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor, doesn't God love lost people? He does, for God so loved the world. But the Lord Jesus, we're told here in Ephesians chapter 5, he loves the church. And so, because he loves the church, I love his church. And I have found that in loving what the Lord loves, then church takes on a beauty to me. The Lord Jesus is interested in every facet of the church. He's interested in the ministry of the church. He's interested in the health of the church. He's interested in the outreach of the church. He's interested in the care of the church. And as he's interested in all of these things, then I should be as well. And so it's not hard to come to church when you love the Lord. So somebody that never shows up, you have to question, why? Why? Now, I understand work. I understand vacation. I understand life. I understand illness. I can even understand fatigue to some part. Although the times I don't want to come to church are usually the greatest church services I ever attend. Okay? So there is a correlation between church attendance and love for the Lord. Now, you may have to work a job which limits your attendance. Fine, I understand that. No problem. You love the Lord. But somebody that just discounts the church, discounts their involvement in the church, discounts their giving to the church, discounts their serving to the church, discounts the church as a whole, you have to really question, does that person really love the Lord? Well, Pastor, I can love the Lord and not kind of attend the church. No, if you're going to love the Lord, you're going to love the things that the Lord loves. Okay? And so that's important. Number two, why do I go to church? And by the way, that sure helps with the church attendance because that takes the pressure off of the pastor. I don't put a lot of pressure on people to attend church. I'll say things like, hey, come back tonight for the Sunday night service. It's a sweet service. It's usually our shortest service, which is usually encouraging to most people. You'll be blessed in being here. I don't necessarily beat people for not their church attendance, but it does reflect whether or not how much they love the Lord. Well, Pastor, what if you do if you're in a place where there's no church? You ever meet the person that always gives you an unreasonable hypothetical? Well, what if you're locked up in jail or you're stranded on a remote island? Well, I don't know. But before we go there, let's just simply go with, we serve an awesome God. If he strands you on an island, then you have church with him. But otherwise, Christ loves the local church. And the reason I'm here tonight is because I love the Lord. Number two, Hebrews chapter 10. Not rocket science. I attend church because I love the Lord. Number two, I attend church because the Bible says to. Verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now he's talking about the final day there, the day of meeting the Lord. And this is a book in Hebrews that was written when there was tremendous persecution going on, and there was every reason in the world not to assemble together. But the Bible says that God's people are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And so I attend church because I love the Lord, and I also attend church and come to church because the Bible says that I'm supposed to do that. Amen? So, what does not forsaking mean? Well, Pastor, does that mean I can never miss? Of course not. Does that mean that that there's just this, that I can never have whatever or so on? No, it doesn't mean anything about that. I'll tell you what I do think it means. Whenever the doors are open, and you can be, you should be there. You should be there. This hurts me to say this, but I'll say it. You don't go to a church that meets only once a week. Your church meets Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So if you believe this is where God has you for membership, then you have the responsibility not to forsake the assembling of yourself. Now, I know that God knows everything. Right under God is Facebook. But the Bible says that I'm to be here. Now, I'm going to say this too. Three square meals a day, right? The churches that are only offering their membership one service a week are doing their people wrong. Okay? You don't eat one meal a day. Look at you. Okay. So these guys, and really and truthfully, now there's exception to every rule, but these guys that are taking their churches down to one service, really and truthfully, the pastor doesn't want to work. It takes hard work to preach a message. Hard work. And these guys don't want to work. So let's just bring everybody together for one. And then they start having multitudes of services, but it's the same message, or it's just a video. Now, I understand if you have to do that, you have to do that. But when are you feeding the people? When are you teaching the people? There's no way I can preach to you tonight and Wednesday night the same way I preached to you on Sunday morning. Right. On Sunday morning, man, I am preaching in defense of the authority of Jesus Christ, and I am preaching with every fiber in my body. Amen. But on a Sunday night, I'm feeding you differently and more tenderly. And so these guys that are coming down in these churches that are just going to one, their people are starving to death. They're not being trained. They're not being taught. And so if the preaching of the Word of God is like food to our soul, and I'll show that to you in a moment, then we need breakfast. That's right. Sunday school's breakfast. Amen? Right. Most of you have turned it into a physical breakfast. It's a smorgasbord. Number two, the worship service is that lunch, man. Sunday night, it's what I like to call dessert. And Wednesday night's just a good solid meal to get you through the week. And so the Bible says that you're supposed to attend church. So I attend church. Do I always feel like it? No, I have a body. I have a flesh just like you. But if I don't let my flesh win and I show up, I'm usually find out that my spirit is ministered to. And I appreciate our church. Our church does well here. But I'm preaching a message entitled, Why Do I Go to Church? Because I love the Lord and because the Bible says to. So you have to weigh. You have to weigh. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. But you have to weigh how you organize your life around the church. Well, you know, Pastor, wait a minute, I'm just going to kind of fit church in here. No, if I'm being honest with you, the Bible would teach you that your life should be organized around the church. That's right. your schedule should be as much as you can. Now, if you got to work and you got to understand, man, vacation, a day off, you want to go to Disney World a weekend, go to Disney World. Fine, have fun, enjoy. I would love to miss a Sunday to go to the Daytona 500. And one day before I retire, I would like for the men of the church to say, Pastor, it's okay if you take a Sunday and go to the Daytona 500 because I want to go with a clean conscience. Okay? I understand that. But we're talking about the direction of our life. And that overall direction says, the Bible says that I'm to be in the house of God, and I kind of plan my life around that. Amen? Okay, I think that was tender. Number three, I love the Lord because the Bible says, and because I want to. Because I want to. And I really don't think there are three better reasons on why you go to church. Because you love the Lord, because the Bible says, and flat because I want to. And I have found that it's miserable to try to make somebody do what they don't want to do. If I was going to continue to be your pastor, I had to learn that I can't make you do what you don't want to do. And you're going to have to give an account, just like I'm going to have to give an account to the Lord for how I organize my life. But when I first became the pastor, I tried to kind of make everybody do things the way that I saw them. That was ridiculous. Can't do that. I'll never survive that. No pastor would. Eventually, you just simply got to want to come to church. You just have to want to. The reason that most people never grow in the Lord is because they don't want to grow in the Lord. The reason that most people suffer so bad is because they don't want what it takes to have the joy of the Lord or have the victory of Christ. You have to literally want it. And until you want it in your heart, it will become a drudge and not a reality to you. There's a big difference in wanting to attend something and being forced to attend something. So the Bible says you should not forsake the assembling of yourself together. But it doesn't do you any good to come here in the wrong spirit. Now, if you love the Lord, you love His Word. Amen? And so as I love the Word of God, I want the Word of God. So I love you, Lord. The Bible tells me to, and I want to. I want to for numerous reasons. Number one, I want to eat. I want to spiritually eat. I don't know about you, but I love to hear preaching. I need preaching. I don't want somebody just to tickle my ears or tell me a story. I want somebody to preach to me. I need the food in Acts chapter 20 that the pastor is supposed to preach to me. And you'll be amazed at this, but sometimes as I preach a message, I'm hearing the message for myself, and the Spirit of God's convicting me just like you, probably more than you. But I want the food. I would compare coming to church with going out to eat. Sure, you can eat on your own, just like eating meals at your house, but everybody loves to go out to eat. Beverly asked me, "Men, does your wife ask you, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat?" Wives, can I help you with something? Now, my wife's not in here, so I'm brave. Okay. You want to perplex your man, ask him what he wants to eat. I don't know. What do you want to eat? No, I asked you. Now we're thinking. What do we want to eat? We want steak, want chicken. How about some multiple choice? What would you like to eat? Tacos, hamburgers, or fish? Now that's how a man can answer a question. A, B, or C. Okay? Well, what do we have? Well, do we have tacos, hamburgers, or fish? Well, I want tacos. Okay. Or sometimes I'll say, she'll ask me, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to do? I want to go out. Okay? So we go out to eat. All right? But a lot depends on our want to. Why do I go to church? Because I want to. I need the food. I want to be in church because I need the fellowship. I need the encouragement. I want to come to church because I want to serve the Lord. I want to come to church because I need the accountability of church. I want to come to church because I'm encouraged by being here. I'm encouraged by the praises and the prayer request and the testimony. I'm encouraged by the music. I'm encouraged by your friendship and your fellowship. And I want to be encouraged. I want to be here because I need to be reminded that Jesus is the Lord and He's the victorious Lord. I'm reminded of the authority of Christ. I'm reminded by being here that I'm not on the losing team, I'm on the winning team. That I'm encouraged by the presence of Christ, what He does in our services. And I want to be here because you're my people. And when you come to church, there are people. So I was fishing yesterday. Kind of a personal story. I'll be as kind as I can. And I happened to be coming in from fishing, and all the fishermen were there. And boy, fishermen are a nasty breed of people. And they kind of, some know I'm the pastor, which tempers them a little bit. Well, we were down by the waterway, and there goes a boat, and there's some women on the boat. And they're on a boat, so they're in boating attire, which in these days is not very much. And all of the sudden, from old man to young man, the things that came out of those men's mouths. See, I don't work in that environment. Reuben doesn't talk like that. I don't know where he is. Nobody that works here talks like that. But the things that came out of these men's mouths, and they were trying to instigate me to get into this conversation. They didn't know who I was. And literally, I felt like somebody took a bucket of filth and dumped it all over top me. And then I thought about you. And I thought about, man, our church people have to work in that constantly. Constantly, the filth. And then I thought, you know, when we come to church, you're my kind of people. Amen. People that love the Lord. And so somebody who never wants to be part of the church or never wants to attend, or they always stay distant or they do whatever, the Bible says they went out from us because they were not what? Of us. So why do we go? Because we love the Lord. Because the Bible says. And just flat, because I want to be here. And to God be the glory for the great things He had done. So, in following up with Brother Gary, the first Sunday night that I was here, 11 years ago, there may have been 30 people here on that Sunday night. Right. Now, if you look around, there's people in every section. That ain't because of Tom Hunter. That's because God's doing great things at Plantation Baptist Church. And there's a sweet, sweet spirit and a sweet unity. Now, sometimes in our church, people get exposed. And so what happens is, when they get exposed, they can't take it. And so they try to go. Not everybody that leaves here is a problem, but sometimes as people get exposed and they go, and then they want to kind of blame us or blame that or blame whatever or so on and so forth. When really and truthfully, if you come to a church like Plantation Baptist Church, a place where God is loved, His word is preached, and a reverent people, then it's going to do one of two things. you're either going to want the Lord or you're going to run like a scalded dog. Amen? Now, unsaved world is welcome. They're welcome. We'll take as many people as we can and win them to Christ. But there's a unique anointing upon our church, and you're part of that. You're part of that. And I love you for that. And so let's go serve the Lord with all our heart this week. Amen? All right, shall we pray?